T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome. We are glad you're on board today. Thanks, as always, for hanging out with us. Bill Michaels Show, we continue on today, and we're glad you're here. Hey, don't forget this portion of the program brought to you by good friends over there at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. And do not forget as well that Wednesday Night Live back at the Wisconsin State Fair Park coming up this Wednesday. Bella Kane takes the stage at 7 o'clock. Gates open up at 6. It's on the Budweiser Pavilion stage. Always a good time. Looks like the weather's supposed to start getting better throughout the week. So get yourself out there, get yourself an enjoyable time, and meet some friends. It's always a party, and it's only going to get better as the summer, continues on. And hopefully the summer gets a little bit better, because, man, it is completely sucked up until this point. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. I want to hear from you, so give us a shout, 855-830-8648. All right. So the Brewers, where they sit right now, we were talking about this a little bit earlier in the program, where they sit right now, 9 games over .500, 40 wins, third most in the National League. So I had said, we were sitting here talking about this, which, by the way, you can follow on Twitter, @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, or @RadioJoeSports. The question is, kind of, when do you really start kind of paying attention to this, okay? Okay, that's great. Well, some of you said, look, it doesn't matter what they do until you get to after the All-Star break. Now, I know you can't specifically mean that. You know? I know you can't specifically mean you really don't care what happens until after the All-Star break, because, you know, you can be out of it by the All-Star break. So you may say, look, I don't pay attention to the standings until after the All-Star break, and that's fine. I think you need to be prior to that, because, you know, you look what the Brewers did last year going into the All-Star break. They were cranking right along, and then they came out of the All-Star break and really, really cooled off. I mean, that was one where you didn't want to see the All-Star break happen because this team was so hot. And then the bats went cold, and it slowed dramatically to the point that the Brewers lost the lead, were down by 6 games, and had to come screaming back to do it. And the Cubs, they had to have some luck. The Cubs started getting beat. The Cubs felt the pressure. Their bats went silent. The Brewers were starting to hit. Christian Yelich threw this team on his back, basically. They got some really good pitching, a very dominant bullpen. And you look what happened. You go to game 163, they get the win in Chicago, and all is right with the world. So I don't say you can't pay attention to it, because I think you pay attention to it, right? I agree with Tim Allen. You know why? Because every game matters. And if it didn't, if you don't pay attention to game one, 163 never happens last year. So you're in the midst of a pennant race right now. So I guess I can understand your mentality of, I'm not going to worry about the standings really until after the All-Star break, but if that's the case and you look up and all of a sudden go, oh, by the way, my team's out by 8 games, chances are you're out of the race. But if you're there and up by a game or down by a game, you're in a race, but maybe that's where you expect to be. Is that the case? You expect to be there? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. This is a good baseball team. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Good baseball team. But I think that this team right now, you got to start putting your stamp on this division if I believe you're going to win it. Now, last year, I know I had said when they lost that series in Pittsburgh and all of a sudden they found themselves 5-6 games back, I thought, boy, you're playing for the wild card at this point, okay? And for some of you, you'll never forget that. You were confident all the way around, I guess, and you called it better than I did. Kudos to you. History being what it was, should have never happened. I just don't know if you can expect lightning to strike twice. Take it from somebody who knows. So, look, I'm paying attention right here, right now. I look at this series this past weekend. For as much as you can say, well, you came out of the weekend, you're a game up on the car or on the Cubs. You're right. I'm not arguing that point. One game up, 40-31, 563 winning percentage. You're 18-18 on the road. You're back to 500. You're plus 12 in the run differential. Hey, you got it going on. Six out of your last 10, you've won. Cubs, they're 5-5 in the last 10. They're a game back, 39-32. Seven games over 500. Okay. But in the grand scheme of things, you get another win. You get a little distance. Maybe you get a couple more. It just seems like there might have been a little bit of an opportunity lost, especially when the Cubs are faltering right now as much as, if not more than, what the Brewers are. The Cubs have been struggling with their starting pitching. The Cubs have been struggling with their bats. It seems to be all or nothing at times for this team. They've even had some uncharacteristic errors. Go back to when they won the World Series. They were the best defensive team in all of Major League Baseball. And defensively speaking, they're not there right now. So for as much as you can say, wow, I'm glad they're up by a game, and I'm with you. But I still think that there's some areas for improvement that this team eventually, at some point, got to go on a little bit of a run. You got to win maybe 10 out of 14, 10 out of 12, something like that. You don't necessarily have to win 10 in a row, but you got to go on a run. And maybe that run begins with San Diego and then four against Cincinnati at Miller Park. I don't know, but Cincinnati somewhat has had your number in recent past too. So I'm paying attention to the standings right now.
Bill, I'm going to be honest. I am not overdwelling on what's going on in the NL Central. You know, sure, I might keep an eye here or there just to follow up, see what's been going on, but I mean, I'm not looking at this night in, night out. What do the Cubs do? What do the Cardinals do? What do the Pirates do? You know, when the Brewers play those teams, then yeah, I take that more seriously because it is key for the Brewers to stack as many wins as they can against their own division, which they've done very well up to this point. They have the best record against NL Central teams compared to the other four, and it's not even close. So, to me, that's encouraging, but I'm someone that at this point, as long as the Brewers kind of take care of their own business, which they've been doing, and they've been doing it without some key contributors, you know, I'll pay attention to this once we get out of the All-Star break. Because, again, there's only one trade deadline this year. There's not two, which means there's going to be a greater emphasis on teams making the decision in mid-July as to whether or not they're going for it or not. And then that's where you get to see who the big buyers are, who the big sellers are. Mm-hmm. And at that point then, I start to pay attention. But right now, I'm very confident that the Brewers, for what they've been able to do without some of their key contributors, both pitching and offensively, I still think this team's going to be there right in the thick of things come the All-Star break, and everything's going to be good. And that's kind of how I feel about it.
855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Chime in, 855-830-8648. Want to hear from you. Your thoughts on all of this as the Milwaukee Brewers right now game over the Cubs. At what point do you start saying, okay, I got to start paying attention to this because this is an area we need. We need it right here, right now. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. Want to hear from you. Where are you regarding your Milwaukee Brewers? As far as paying attention to the standings and what this team needs to do, what kind of win total they need to do to win this division. And I don't think it's too early ever, but I agree with you and I agree with Tim in the sense you got to win games and every game matters.
Right.
But do you start fretting over a game up or a game down right now? I agree, you just got to win ball games.
Again, you know, remember back to last year when the Brewers got swept by the Pirates in a five-game series. Remember when they got beaten by the Marlins 2 out of 3. They got beaten by the Padres 2 out of 3 at Miller Park. You know, you talk about lesser teams. And I've stressed this in the past, that the Brewers have to take care of their own business against lesser teams. And those were series that they didn't do a good job. But still, at the end of the day, over the course of a 162-game season, it's in the scheme of things, it's not the end of the world. So you got to remember that. Yes, the Brewers lost 2 out of 3 to the Giants this past weekend. I would have been a little bit more upset had they gotten swept yesterday. But Brewers did a little damage control. They took care of their business. And I go back to that game Saturday where they had a 4-0 lead, and they blew the lead, and they ended up losing. And that's Jobber Metrics, a game the Brewers should have won but lost. And they've only, according to the metric, and you can read all about this, if you're a stat nerd, go to BillMichaelSports.com, the piece is there, about Jobber Metrics. But that was the first game all season that the Brewers were in a position to win, and they ended up losing. Otherwise, there hasn't been a game this year where the Brewers have really blown a significant lead and ended up losing that game. They've been able to hang on to their leads and take care of business and put themselves in a position to win and pull it off. So that's, again, the way I look at this Brewers team right now, I'm pretty impressed with what they're able to do and not have every little piece work for them. There are a lot of guys that can step up their game. Chacin's an example tonight. I'd love to see him come off this injury, pitch 6 innings, give me a quality start. It's good to see Jesus Aguilar hit a home run the other day. Travis Shaw had a couple of hits the other day. Give me more of that from these guys. But all things considered, you got to be impressed with a Brewers team that's playing this well and not have everyone really fire on all cylinders.
855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. I want to hear from you. 855-830-8648. Are you kind of right there with us, or are you got your do you got your own mind made up when it comes to the Milwaukee Brewers and where they're at right now and the competitiveness of this team and as far as going for it? The other question is, because I got one here, and this is from V. Visor. V. Visor writes, what do you think it's going to take for this team to get over the top? Is it one or two pitchers? And if it's two, do they really have the pieces to be able to trade for something like that? You can't find anybody on the free agent market right now because we know all the good pitchers are gone. What will this team do? Are they going for it or just treading water? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648 right now. Give us a shout. I want to hear from you. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Glad you are here. Always, always glad you're here. Hey, the award-winning cheeses and cheese curds. They're at the center of the Cousin Subs local at heart menu. Now they're happy to announce the new member of their locally sourced lineup. That is the mac and cheese. We've talked about it before. Featuring the shredded Parmesan, shredded white cheddar cheeses, now available at select locations all in Wisconsin and south of the border in Illinois. You can order as a compliment to your favorite sub or in a kid's meal. And consider the toppings of your choice, like bacon, chicken, ham, turkey. Order online at CousinSubs.com. There is delivery available in select locations. That is Cousin Subs. And that is where they believe in better, which is the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. 855-830-8648. Talking some Brewers baseball. And a lot of people talking about Will Smith. Having a decent season, coming as a lefty out of the pen, better than Claudio. Would you trade for him? That's a great question. When you start looking at some of the lefties that are out there, FHL for Kids says, I don't start looking at all of this stuff until after the All-Star break because that begins the dog days of summer. But, look, when you're talking about the possibility of a trade, specifically, don't forget, there aren't any secondary trades after all of this. I mean, once the trade deadline is coming on, that's it. So, any lefty that's better than Claudio coming out of the pen, I'm for. So to answer your question, yes. Would I be in favor of that? Yes. What are you going to have to give up? You could give up a guy like Jesus Aguilar or Eric Thames, plus a prospect. It's going to cost you more at the trade deadline than it is in the offseason. So this is where the Brewers, this is why the Brewers right now, the way it stands, and when Joe and I sit here and do the 25th man in and out, this is the reason you're looking at this going, okay, what do you got? Well, you got Ulysses Chacin. He's going to be coming in to start today. You got Woodruff Davies. You're hoping Jimmy Nelson comes back, and he's that guy. Showed some really good stuff early on, and then the control just went away. 30 years old, coming off of a big-time shoulder surgery. You wonder what you got. You know, so you're hoping that that rotation fills itself out. You're hoping that Gio Gonzalez comes back, and he's able to give you something eventually. But Gio Gonzalez, this isn't Cy Young coming through those gates. It's Gio Gonzalez. All he did was stabilize your starting rotation. He didn't accentuate it to the point that, you know, he was this huge, you know, factor in going out there with dominating performances. He just gives your team a chance to win. And with this offense, you can do that and win a lot of ball games. But once you get to the postseason, is that good enough? Is that good enough? So would I go out and try to find myself either a starter or a reliever? I think it's going to depend a lot on what Ulysses Chacin does, Jimmy Nelson does, where Gio's return is. Because if you got those guys, you're just adding depth in your bullpen. Otherwise, you may need to go out and find yourself a starter. So a guy like Will Smith would be off the radar. You'd probably have to go find yourself somebody that's a pretty solid number two or number three in somebody's rotation, and then make a deal for them for a team that's foundering. That's probably what they would end up doing. But I'm sure the phones are starting to buzz a little bit. Inside the breast pocket of the jacket that is David Stearns, I'm sure his phone's starting to go off a little bit saying, hey, we might have this guy available. What do you think of this guy's available or that guy? And then what's it going to cost you? Look, any lefty coming out of the pen, it's better than what you have. I will take in a heartbeat, or an add to. I would take in a heartbeat.
I'm just not sure any team is going to take Eric Thames in a trade.
If he continues to hit power number-wise, he will. But in hitting 250, you know what you're getting.
But the problem is Eric Thames has been your best hitter at the first base position.
But I agree. You're going to give something up to get something in return. You're not just going to say, hey, we're going to give you a prospect and get, you know, Will Smith in return, unless it's a high-end prospect. Because teams know you're up against the wall now.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's – yeah, but to say Eric Thames is going to be a trade piece.
I'm just saying he's one of many. I'm not saying he's the guy. I'm just simply saying it may be a guy like Eric Thames, a Travis Shaw, something like that, where you're going to give something up that could possibly be an everyday guy or could possibly be one of your fringe everyday guys to get something of pitching in return.
I just don't think any selling team would want to take on Eric Thames. Maybe Travis Shaw or Jesus Aguilar.
He's only got a year or two, right?
He's got a club option for next year.
Yeah.
But I don't know, does the team want to pay $7.5 million to Eric Thames next year?
Well, if it's a team option, they don't have to pay him. They just cut him loose.
Right, but then, again, why would you trade for that?
It's not going to take just Thames. It's going to take Thames and a prospect.
But I still don't think that's...
I'm just throwing a name out there. I'm not saying he's the guy. I'm just simply saying Thames, Travis Shaw. It could take Jesus Aguilar. It could be Hernan Perez. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying it's a guy that's an everyday guy with the club and a prospect for a pitcher at this point, unless you throw in two really good prospects together where you're getting a high-end prospect and one of the single-A guys. What would it take?
I think that would be more likely.
That would probably be more likely.
You're going to have to.
But we know how they covet those guys, so they're not going to want to give that up.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because you look at the minor league system right now for the Brewers. I've seen some rankings come out recently that the Brewers farm system is in the bottom third of Major League Baseball now. You know, outside of Keston Hira, who the Brewers should not be trading at all, because Keston Hira can help you win baseball games mm-hmm. right now. Beyond that, if you look at the Brewers farm system, they do have some good prospects, but it's not on the same echelon as some of these other farm systems right now. The Brewers farm system is not what it used to be because either
guys got up or got traded away.
Exactly. So you got to ask yourself, how do teams value a Corey Ray? How do they value a Mauricio Dubon? How do they value Bryce Terang? You know, do the Brewers want to part with a guy like Bryce Terang, who's having a really good year for the T-Rats? You know, there's a lot of things to look at there, but again, I think at the end of the day, I don't think the Brewers are going to part with any big league talent because I just don't know if these selling teams are going to want some of these guys. Maybe they want to take a shot on a Jesus Aguilar. Maybe they believe that he can find his game again. Maybe a change of scenery is all he needs. Maybe the same thing can be said about Travis Shaw. I'm not sure teams are going to take on Eric Thames, though. That's just, I would be very surprised if the Brewers parted with Eric Thames and a prospect to get, say, a Will Smith. I just don't see that possible.
Mark says, did you read that Baltimore may be getting rid of Trey Mancini? It's not that they said they wanted to get rid of him. It's just that when their general manager was asked about it, he didn't say no. He didn't say no, it's not going to happen. If I recall that story correctly. So, you know, that's that. I put it this way. I don't think they're getting rid of him, to be honest with you. That's just my thought, but I don't think they're getting rid of him. So, I mean, as nice as that would be. Felipe Vasquez, the lefty from the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're kind of a less than a year removed from going all out for Chris Archer, remember. And it hasn't worked, and they have gone back to being the Pirates. So that, remember, he's 27 years old and kind of came out as a late-inning reliever, and he's solid. So if there's a guy that's out, now I can't imagine them trading in division, but if there's a guy that I would target, that might be the guy.
Well, that's going to cost you
It's going to cost you a lot.
A ton.
But if this is what you're doing and you're going for it, and you want to stack that back end of the bullpen, that would be the guy. He's a lefty. He's a sixth, seventh, eighth inning guy. He can even close. There's a lot of things right there that can happen.
There's a couple of guys I was looking at the other day because there are some.
Now, wait a minute. One of the guys that you could send away would be to an American League team. Matthew Boyd also, from what I understand, is available out of the lefty out of Detroit. He would be another guy.
Another guy I was looking at in Detroit is Shane Green. He's having a really good year for Detroit. He has 20 saves. He's a right-hander. He's kind of had an up-and-down career, but that could be a guy that the Brewers go hard after, because if you can put him back into that bullpen with what you already have, that would go a long way. I think you need two relievers. You need a lefty, and you need a guy who can close out games that has saving experience. So Shane Green would be one guy I'd look at. Another guy I look at is up in Toronto with Ken Giles, who's a hard-throwing guy, and he's pitched very well this season for Toronto. He's kind of gotten himself back together. Ken Giles is another guy I would go hard at, because really the Blue Jays and the Tigers, they're obvious sellers right now if you look at the records.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore's another obvious seller, but none of their guys in the bullpen really strike me. They don't really have a good bullpen. But Shane Green and Ken Giles are two guys I would definitely look at for the Brewers.
855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Here's another thought. Now, I think this is the nuclear option for them, and I don't think it would ever happen here. But as it stands today, there are 2 years remaining on his contract, and there's rumors that they would be giving up Max Scherzer in Washington. You're taking on the salary. You're not going to give a ton of prospect up for him. You're taking on the salary because he is owed, what, $35, $34 million or something like that a year for the next couple of years. I don't think the Brewers would ever take that on. They take on part of that, and Washington would have to eat some of that, maybe a prospect or something like that in return. But would you go for Max Scherzer, who's only a couple of years removed from being a Cy Young Award candidate?
You would have to give up multiple prospects in order to pay maybe half of his salary.
Right. But if this is a guy that could solidify your rotation, go in and be your legitimate number one, would you do that?
I would be
shocked if they did it, but the thought intrigues me.
Bill, I'd be very open for Max Scherzer.
I'd be very open for it.
But if they did it,
I would be shocked. But Max Scherzer, now this, again, nobody has said Washington's going to trade him, but they're not going anywhere, and they know that. So would you want to take on that Max Scherzer deal? Because I'd think about that. That intrigues me. You got 2 years of it. He could anchor it until some of these other guys really kind of come of age. You're not going to pay that full $35 million a year salary, which is the average of that thing. I think it's 37 or something like that this year, and then it kind of goes down. But nevertheless, that would be something that would intrigue me. Let's do this. We'll go ahead and take a quick break. Stay tuned. We got more of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Rebel Show on the air. We are glad you are here. Certainly appreciate you hanging out with us. As always, this portion of the program brought to you by our friends over at Neumel Medical, treating guys with ED all over the state of Wisconsin, beyond the borders as well. Don't forget, they have a 98% success rate, and if summer's got you down, hate to use that as the pun, but if it does, they can help. But you can't do anything without a phone call. And if you're kind of struggling with the energy, maybe the stamina, moodiness, brain fog, whatever it happens to be, if you're over the age of 30, just go and get your numbers checked. I've been telling you for a long time, you can't do anything unless you just get a consultation. And it can be life-changing. I swear to. Then there's the all-in-one weight loss program, and that works. And I was asked about that again over the weekend, saying, hey, it looks like you dropped more than a few pounds. I did. On me, man, I can lose 20 and nobody notices. I lose 30, people start to notice. Hey, did you lose 5 pounds over the week? No. Down about 33, 34, right? From where I started, I'm down over 70. So it works. Just keep at it. It really does work, and it kind of shows you the way. And I've been highly recommending this for a long, long time. So make sure you give them a call, 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. That's Neumel Medical. So we were kind of going over some of the trade possibilities, or at least some thoughts regarding the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll get back into that coming up here in just a little bit. Big weekend, man. Big weekend. The U.S. Open, I thought, was really good. When you go back and look at the U.S. Open and you say, okay, it was interesting in the sense that there was some... I mean, even Tiger made a little bit of a charge, okay? Woodland's win, I mean, you can go back to Saturday when he was scrambling. It was like one bad shot after another off the tee. Remember, he was hacking his way all the way up to, what was it, 13 or 14? And he ends up chipping in from the fringe to save par. You can look at that. You know, when he takes that one-shot lead into Sunday, you can look at that and say, you know what, some of those scrambles that he made, it wasn't perfect. It was a shank. It was a chunk. But both times he ended up making par. And he really battled. It was pretty exciting. It was a lot of fun to watch this weekend. And Pebble Beach, man, what a spectacular backdrop. Because he had the one-shot lead over Justin Rose. What a spectacular backdrop that Pebble Beach was. And then the fans were fantastic as usual. But he was right there. Woodland just kind of fended everybody. I really thought he'd falter. I thought Justin Rose was going to come along and take this. The short game, Justin Rose was having all kinds of success, even from the thick grass. They had some goofy spots around the green as the greens got a little bit firmer throughout the day. But no, Woodland held it off. And Tiger, he just kind of faltered. He made a little bit of a run, and a lot of people were following him. And, Tiger just wasn't Tiger. I don't know why Tiger was one of the favorites. He was, I think, the fourth most likely golfer to win it, Vegas was saying. Are they just now way, way, way overestimating Tiger Woods? He came back and he won his major, yes. But are they way overestimating Tiger Woods and his ability to put this back-to-back-to-back-to-back like they've done in the past? I mean, he's just not the same Tiger. And Tiger again says that his bodies are hurting him and he's aching. And every golfer goes through that. He's getting a little bit older, but it's kind of opening up some of the chinks in the armor again to say, you know, Tiger's not Tiger anymore. Why are we looking at Tiger as such a legitimate threat each and every week? I mean, he can win, but it seemed like the Tiger bandwagon, the shocks busted when everybody jumped back on. I don't think Tiger's there. But anyway, that was it. Woodland gets a nice win over the weekend. A really, really solid round of golf as well. And Brooks Koepka, everybody kept hoping he'd win or thinking he would. Did you find yourself being a little bit more of a Koepka fan after that interview that he did? I always liked Brooks Koepka. I think he's undervalued, under-respected. So obviously a very solid player. But is he just another one of many? I mean, we had a nice run by Rory for a while. We had a nice run by Jordan for a while. And now you're looking at this going, okay, Koepka is we had a nice run by Koepka and within a year and a half. Is Koepka going to be that guy for a while that's going to have staying power? He made a nice run. He thought he could win it because nobody had been winning majors like him in the last couple of years. And he played bogey-free for a 68, settling for par when he had that bold attempt to slash the fairway metal around the cypress tree in the 18th hole going back to Saturday. What a shot he had. I thought he'd start that thing out a little bit further left and bring it more into the green, but he ended up a little bit short. But anyway, nevertheless, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of good golf. A lot of fun golf because it was a lot of guy golf. You know, behind a tree, in the rough. You know, even Stenson hit a fan. You hate to say that, but struck a fan. Doink. So, and then, which was really cool, he took a selfie with the fan after the fact. That was kind of nice. He took the selfie because he went over and he said, "Hey, dude, you okay?" "Yeah." "Can I get a picture?" "Sure. Here you go." So he ends up taking a selfie with the fan. So that was kind of cool.
It was a different U.S. Open for sure. I mean, it was not the kind of U.S. Open where the greens were burned out.
No.
The fairways were, you know, super, super narrow. The greens, they let Pebble Beach be Pebble Beach. And when you look at yardage, I think the course played somewhere around 7,100 to 7,200 yards, depending on the day. It was just more about accuracy off the tee, you know, because Pebble Beach is one of those courses where there's a lot of dog legs, a lot of bunkers. You got to hit the spots. And I think in Tiger Woods' case, he had the conservative approach all week. He just did not want to get aggressive, even in the later rounds where he was clearly out of it. I mean, he was on Sunday, you thought maybe he'd want to go for the green on the third hole, which is like a short par four that's only about 300 yards.
Right.
I mean, it's a very short landing area to try to get it to the green, but you would have thought maybe Tiger pull out the driver there, try to go for it. He didn't. Mm-hmm. He constantly was conservative, and watching his round yesterday too, I mean, he was struggling there through the first seven holes, which is considered the easiest stretch at Pebble Beach. And then ironically, he gets red hot going minus six through like the final 11 holes. So it was a really weird day for Tiger Woods. I didn't think going into it, Bill, at the start of the U.S. Open, that Tiger would be the guy that would win it. The U.S. Open is just, of the four majors, it is by far the toughest one to win. So I didn't expect Tiger Woods to be the favorite. I just wanted to see how much he could contain Pebble Beach and play. And while he had the right idea early on, he just wasn't taking advantage on approach shots. He wasn't making a ton of putts. And that cost him early.
Mm-hmm. Hey, by the way, I didn't realize this until Mark just sent me a note. Remember we did buy or sell and you said, will it be 20 over or more? And I said, no, it'll probably be about 12 or 13. Ended up at 13. I didn't realize that. Did you like have that in the back of your mind over the weekend when the final score came in? I didn't realize that I had said that. And that's usually where it, you know, if they don't burn the course out and tear it up, that's about where they'll end up, anywhere from 7 or 8 to 13 or 14 tops in a U.S. Open. Because I don't remember too many U.S. Opens going to 20 under. You know what I mean?
No. Well, yeah. I mean, what was the winning score at Erin Hills? What was it off the top? What did Brooks Koepka shot? I mean, it was in the double digits, minus 13, minus 14. Because, again, the USGA got it right at Erin Hills. They let Erin Hills be Erin Hills, and then they didn't try to do any more, you know, again, letting the fairways grow out a little bit more, narrowing them, not making the greens super, super fast. They also had ideal weather conditions throughout. I got to look at that.
I don't know. He won him back in 2017. I'm just trying to read the story.
He shot minus 16.
Minus 16, okay.
That was the final 2 years ago.
Right. And that was soft because we'd had some rain. They didn't burn that one out either. So, yeah. There you have it. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. So we've had a little bit of a shakeup in the NBA, and I know you're probably sick of seeing it because that's the only thing that the Four Letter Network has to talk about, I guess. There's no other story in the world right now besides that because it involves LeBron James, but we'll discuss that. Also, in a weird way, he's back, and it's just bizarre. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly. Now, coming soon to Twitter, you'll get the read all my thoughts and opinions on just about everything. Now, there's a lot of fake OJ accounts out there. So this one, at the real OJ32, is the only official one. So this should be a lot of fun. I got a little getting even to do. So God bless. Take care.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly. Now, coming soon to Twitter, you'll get to read all my thoughts and opinions on just about everything. Now, there's a lot of fake OJ accounts out there, so this one, at the real OJ32, is the only official one. So, this should be a lot of fun. I got a little getting even to do. So, God bless. Take care.
He is a weird dude. Just a weird dude. Nothing like saying, I got some revenge, God bless. That's one man that just doesn't get it. He just doesn't. I keep waiting to see, like, I'm on Facebook one day, and up pops Marketplace, and there's a white Bronco for sale or something like that. Just,
well... It's kind of ironic. You know what the anniversary is today? The 25th anniversary?
Of the chase.
Of the chase.
Of the chase. The white Bronco. Yeah.
And just a few days before was Nicole's death.
Yes.
And he launches Twitter just a couple of days.
To set the record straight.
After the anniversary, the 25th.
Nicole and Ron Goldman. Did you see, now, if you haven't seen it lately, if you start surfing things like ID... the O Network, Reels, those are usually kind of your crime dramas, Datelines, 2020, stuff like that. It has resurfaced in a massive way, the OJ stuff, in a massive way. 25 years later, basically, America had stopped at that point in time to watch. I'll never forget it. I was absolutely mesmerized by this. Because on one hand, you couldn't look away, and you thought how despicable the crimes were because of the way they were murdered, just basically being slashed to pieces, stabbed to pieces. On the other hand, you couldn't believe that you were witnessing live and in person the falling of an absolute icon, because it was every piece of information came falling out of the box. All the abuse, the spousal abuse, the domestic violence, everything. You heard the voice, the 911 calls, all this stuff with Nicole Brown Simpson and OJ. And you just thought, you went from this likable, smiling, running through airports with Hertz, go OJ, go figure that America fell in love with, to an absolute positive scumbag that you realized here the emperor has no clothes. And then to watch all of that unfold, and to watch the America choose sides. You either were for OJ and you're standing on the highway and you're holding up signs, we love you, the whole thing, and watching the whole world react when he is, you know, said not guilty, when it was overwhelming that he was. I mean, everybody knew it. It's just that it came down to everything from your love of a football player to racial lines. I mean, it just depended on what side of the fence you fell upon. Just a very bizarre, bizarre chapter in our nation's history when it comes to an iconic figure. And OJ epitomized everything that was good and everything that was bad. But you just couldn't turn away. It had everything in that story. So now OJ is on Twitter. So over the weekend, that got a little bit bizarre. As OJ announces, I'm back. If I'm OJ and I got lucky enough via my celebrity status and money to get away with murder, and then got convicted after the fact and went to prison for other crimes for 8 years, and now I'm out. I think if I'm OJ, and don't forget, he wrote that book, If I Did It, and did that goofy interview. And If I Did It, you know, it's like, come on. You know, just, he was just capitalizing on his fame and on anybody that would pay him anything to do anything, any place, anytime, anywhere. And now to come back and go, I'm back and I'm going to set the record straight. Just shut up and go away. You know, continue to try to search for Nicole's killer on a golf course and just leave us all the hell alone. That's the best thing you can possibly do. But OJ announces he's back over the weekend. And he's going to use social media to, quote, set the record straight.
Well, we don't have enough time to play it, but he did release a video today it was a 2-minute video of him saying that he was never attracted to Kris Jenner at all.
Oh, no. We'll play this coming up in the next hour. Let's do that because we got to get to it because he's just a bizarre cat. We'll play it in between Paul Emig and Mike Clemens because I know Mike will have something to say. Mike loves pop culture. Mike was all over this when it happened. So we'll talk to Mike, too. But we got to play that because he's a bizarre dude, man. He's a whole show.
He has over 600,000 Twitter followers, and he got that in a span of like 3 days.
Yeah.
And he had, with those videos that he posted 3 videos, he's had well over 9 million views just on the first video.
Yeah. He's...
hasn't been verified yet, but we know it's OJ.
There is a fascination with this nut. Stay tuned. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, going to join us. We'll talk more about the Michael Silver article that came out today. Also, Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold insider, right around the corner as well. And you will hear OJ. Creepy OJ. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.